All right, on this episode of MMA Canada Radio, very excited to be talking with an individual competing at the March 30th UFC Fight Night, and a very intriguing fight going down as Bill Algeo and Kyle Nelson step out into the cage to test skills, and great getting to have Kyle on MMA Canada Radio. How are you doing, man? You having a solid day so far?
Yeah, you know, day's going great. The training camp's been going great, so yeah.
And I feel like I'd be remiss if I didn't, you know, put out the early, you know, congratulations in a sense. I understand the countdown to Baby Knox is just a few days out, so that's awesome, man. Congrats.
Yeah, thank you. It's getting pretty close as well. We're due March 12th, so hopefully it comes on time, and that'll give me a couple weeks to get adjusted and finish off the training camp.
Yeah, no, for sure, and yeah, a lot going on into this fight, and you were talking about some of the training and whatnot. Is that, like, a bit of cross-training happening? Because just, I only say that because I know you've trained at, like, House of Champions and NTT before, but you also have your own space there in Muskoka. So, like, where has the training predominantly been, I suppose?
Yeah, I mean, it's, like, House of Champions is my, you know, kind of my home gym where I spend most of my time. But I try to make it over to NTT a couple times a week. Obviously, I'm at Muskoka Martial Arts, a few times a week. So it is pretty split up and spread out. But I do find this way I kind of get the best training that you can get around Ontario.
Yeah, well, I mean, some of the guys you train with there, I mean, one of the past times we were talking, we were discussing, like, the work with Mike Malott, but, I mean, I'm sure there's no shortage of great people that come through those spaces. I mean, like you're kind of saying, like, the best in Ontario and, I mean, Canada by proxy, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I think we have a good, you know, here in, like, the GTA, you know, everybody travels a little bit, a couple hours here, an hour there, and we're all able to kind of meet up and train together.
Yeah, no, love to see it. It's a great cross-training culture, and yeah, just really cool to take all that in. I guess I'm curious with this specific fight, in terms of, like, when the bout offer initially came your way. Like, when did this one get on your radar initially?
I'm trying to think. It was maybe roughly, like, a month ago. I know, like, the offer came in, so, like, I jumped on it. But then, like, we didn't get, like, a contract or any, you know, real confirmation for a little bit. So I'd say, like, the 6 to 8 week mark, somewhere in there.
Yeah, and I guess, like, what are your thoughts on your opponent's resume and some of the better, I guess, like, aspects of their skill set that you may have seen from them? Like, I guess I'm curious to get your thoughts on Bill Algeo, because he's been on a bit of a run. I mean, UFC veteran as you are, like, what are your thoughts on, I guess, like, what he brings to the table, as it were?
Yeah, I mean, he's fought a couple good guys, and guys like Andre Feely that's been around forever. And Bill's always been on my radar a little bit, just because he's in the 145 division. So, you know, whenever I see guys fight at 145, you know, I kind of keep my mind. Now, for, like, his style, I think it's nothing I haven't faced before. You know, he's got a bit of height, but my last opponent, Fernando Padilla, was tall and long, and Fernando was a good boxer. You know, a couple fights ago, I fought Jai Herbert, who was tall and long. So definitely not something new there. And then I know he's got, like, decent cardio and stuff, so he likes to push the pace a little bit. And again, I fought a guy in Billy Quarantillo, who was a high output kind of guy. So I've definitely kind of, you know, faced pieces of Bill Algeo before, and I think now, you know, I'm a lot better than I was, you know, in the Herbert fight or the Quarantillo fight. So I'm definitely excited to get in there and, you know, prove that I should be climbing the ranks.
And it seems like you've really been doing that. I mean, all of the, you know, facets you outlined there and the growth and development through the timeline, like, it really seems like you're firing on all cylinders and really, you know, putting everything together in your UFC run. Like, obviously you're mindful of, I guess, growing and always getting to that next level, but do you feel like you found that, like, certain stride and, like, you've kind of, like, compartmentalized the certain lessons you've learned earlier and are really putting it all together, as I was kind of saying?
Yeah, I definitely think I've kind of settled into the UFC now. I've got, we've got all of our kind of programs for the weight cutting and training camps, and everything's dialed in. When I first got into the UFC, I kind of, I went and did a training camp down in Vegas, and I started trying a bunch of new stuff that didn't always work out. So now we're coming off of, I think we've had like four decision fights in a row, which isn't always the most exciting, but I know for sure I can go the three rounds, which was, a bit of an issue before in fights like the Billy Q fight and even my first fight in the UFC. And skill level was never really a problem. I was always able to get in there and win the first round and win the majority of, like, any type of technical or skilled exchanges. It was just, the weight cut and maybe some of the cardio caught up with me. So now that we've addressed that, now I can really start to showcase my skills and technique. And the more comfortable I get in the octagon every time, the more I open up and showcase even more and get a little bit more exciting.
Yeah, and I was going to say, like, how much of that, I guess, like, biochemical kind of base, like, you talk about more like the cardio and things like that. I was seeing in some articles that your fiance Claudia really helps with your nutrition. Like, how much has that kind of benefited some of that growth that you were talking about there?
Yeah, it's been instrumental. It's it's tough enough to be a professional athlete and work through the training camp, and then I run the gym at Muskoka Martial Arts, and there's always so much stuff going on that, with Claudia being able to not only, she's gone to school, she's still in school right now for sports and nutrition stuff, but she can also help by, like, making the meals and stuff. So as opposed to me just trying to work off of, like, a meal plan and go out and, buy already made food or whatever, microwavable food or something like that, it's so much easier that she's able to, be with me all the time and help me, by making food and all that stuff.
Yeah, and you touched on the Muskoka gym, and I also kind of mentioned that earlier. I thought it was cool seeing an article talking about that where it really motivated you to start the gym because you were noticing a lot of issues going on with some of the youth. Like, how good does that feel? I mean, are you finding that you're really enacting that sort of positive change and giving that kind of, I guess, communal interaction for some youth that are kind of going through it in the area, I suppose?
Yeah, absolutely. I really enjoy it. It's, it's a whole new challenge. It's one thing to teach a, like just a regular kids class. But then it's another thing, maybe with teaching a class with kids that maybe have some anger issues or, stuff like that. And it's their first time, being in a martial arts scenario and trying to teach them, respect and hard work and instill some self-discipline and stuff like that. It's definitely a new challenge, but it's something that I enjoy doing, and I do think it's going to, really help the Muskoka community.
Yeah, I was going to say, sounds like a lot of, communal interaction for you in a big way. Like, it seems like you're really mindful of that. And I partly mentioned that as well to, I guess, get into, like, the fact that you were recognized by the town of Huntsville for your achievements. That must have been a really cool thing for you. Like, can you explain, like, how all of that felt just with, like, Huntsville Mayor Nancy Alcock getting involved with that and just you being recognized in that kind of regard, I suppose?
Yeah. So, I mean, I grew up in Huntsville. I still spend the most weekends there. I know growing up, like, throughout the years, they'll do, like, the Sports Hall of Fame, and they'll do other little recognition for local athletes and stuff like that. And, I've been a professional fighter for 12 years now. I've been in the UFC for, like, 5.5 years. And I hadn't, really got recognized or anything at all through like the town of Huntsville. Obviously, the people in Huntsville were always super supportive. Some of the businesses in Huntsville and like the town paper would always have me by for interviews and radio stations. But I didn't really know how stuff like that worked, like the Sports Hall of Fame or any type of recognition stuff. So I kind of just assumed maybe it wasn't going to be until I retired that you know, maybe they look at bringing me into the Hall of Fame or doing something like that. So it was definitely cool when they reached out and wanted to bring me by and recognize my achievements. So I went in, I met everyone in the town council, the mayor and everything, and, you know, got to talk to them a bit, and they, you know, talked a little bit about some of the stuff that I've been able to do in my sport, and it looks like they're going to have me back, you know, in the future to do like a plaque and a ceremony and then, you know, some more stuff.
No, it's awesome to hear, man. My papa lives up there, Murray Payne. Like, I'd actually not really been up to Huntsville as much prior to that, but I feel like each time I go up there, there's such like a kindness among the people and a sense of community. So cool to hear that, you know, you're getting that sort of recognition and that there's going to be some sort of, you know, follow-up ceremony, as you alluded to there.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's great stuff, man. And also, you know, the fight going on at Moose Delaney's, again, that seems like a pretty standard thing at this point. That seems kind of like the, you know, communal gathering sort of dynamic to watch the fight. But yeah, it seems like there's a, you know, a few of those parties going on now. And kind of within that, I was seeing, you know, the information about the Fight Camp Light Lager. That seems like a cool kind of partnership that you've got going there. Like, how did that all come about and everything?
Yeah, so, I mean, it's always something, you know, ever since Conor McGregor kind of did his whiskey, I thought it'd be something cool. I mean, you know, almost everyone I know back home in Huntsville and Muskoka, you know, they like to have a, you know, a couple beers here and there. And I just thought it'd be something cool to team up with, like, a local brewery. And, yeah, and, you know, kind of sit down together and, you know, come up with a beer like that. And, I mean, it took a long time. But you know, I got working with New Ontario Brewing. We got together and discussed, you know, flavors and different things like that. And, you know, a few months later, we came up with a kind of the prototype. And then, yeah, I mean, it tastes great. So we slapped my face on the side of the can and then started, you know, talking to bars and stuff. And obviously, Moose Delaney's has been in my corner for, I don't know, since I was like 16 or 17. So they jumped on board right away, and then they obviously always do the viewing parties. And then there's Shoeless Joe's down here in Hamilton, you know, as I spend half my time down here. So, you know, they're the kind of, you know, the fight bar down here to watch UFCs and boxing and stuff. So met with them, and now they're carrying the beer. And then a little north of Huntsville is the River Bowl. It's a bowling alley. Again, the only kind of bar really north of Huntsville, south of like North Bay. So it's great to have them on board as well. So everybody kind of in that no man's land between has somewhere to go and try out the light, the Fight Camp Light Lager.
Yeah, you got to be able to access beers wherever you're at, however remote, right? Yeah, that's kind of how I look at it. But yeah, no, a lot of momentum, man. I mean, you're coming off, I mean, not immediately so, but that UFC 289 victory that you described as the highlight of your career so far. And in some of those, like, articles I mentioned, like, with getting the recognition in Huntsville, I saw, like, some people kind of following up on social media, and, like, they really seemed to want you on that Toronto card in January. Like, obviously not overlooking this fight per se, but it seems like the UFC is very much trying to ramp up their schedule in Canada. Like, how exciting of a proposition is that for you to, you know, get more moments like that, more highlights in the home country and all?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, fighting for the UFC is already a dream come true, but, you know, getting to do it in, like, my home country or my home province is definitely, you know, the highlight. So Vancouver was great. A ton of people, you know, came over from Ontario and all over Canada, but it'd definitely be awesome if I, you know, I got to fight again in Toronto or Ottawa or something like that again sometime soon.
Yeah, no doubt, man. But I guess in focusing on the immediate task here, like, I'm kind of curious because some fighters get really heavy into the visualization, and then kind of within that, they get a, I guess, predominant idea of how they may see the fight ending. Is that something you practice to a certain extent, or are you more looking to, I guess, be adaptable and flow with whatever may or may not happen in the fight?
Yeah, like, I do some visualization, but I try to kind of travel down all the possibilities and aspects of the fight. Yeah, I don't like to focus too much on, you know, one path, like walking out and knocking him out in the first 30 seconds and then focusing on that so much that if that doesn't happen, then I don't know what to do. So I try and play through all the scenarios in my head and visualize that. And that way, when I'm in there, I've already seen all the possible outcomes, you know, so I'm ready for everything to come.
Yeah, no, sounds like a good balanced way to approach the whole thing, man. I guess one of the things I did also want to touch on while I had you, it looked like you got a cool opportunity to MC a great amateur Muay Thai show with Canadian Muay Thai League. Like, how was that for you, and is that something you'd like to do more of in the future?
Yeah, definitely. It's, you know, outside of fighting and stuff, I'm generally a pretty soft-spoken, maybe even like a shy kind of guy. So it's, I wasn't sure how well it would go, but I started out, I did it once or twice before on kind of smaller shows and you know, got really good feedback and stuff. And, the Canadian Muay Thai League got a hold of me. So I went out there a couple weeks ago and did the MC stuff, did the ring announcing, and it was great. Got a lot of good feedback. It's something I enjoy, where I still get to be a part of the, you know, fights. So whether I'm coaching or MCing, I still get to be around, you know, the culture and stuff. And that's something that I can do long after I retire. So it'd be cool if I could continue to build this skill set. And who knows, maybe one day Bruce Buffer has to retire, so maybe I'll be ready by then.
Yeah, you can hit like the Nelson 360 in the cage, like do the big spin that he did at UFC 100 kind of vibe.
Yeah.
No, I love that, man. It was cool to see and everything. And yeah, good to try out these different things and whatnot. And I love how, you know, community-minded you are. It's great for sure. But I also do want to be mindful of your time and schedule, Kyle. So in kind of saying that, I'm wondering if maybe you have a final parting thought that you wanted to add as we were wrapping things up, man.
Yeah, I mean, just make sure everyone tunes in March 30th to watch my fight versus Bill Algeo. It's going to be another step up the ladder to the top 10 of the UFC. And yeah, I'm excited to have all of Canada in my corner.
Yeah, no, for sure, man. It's always fun getting to watch you fight. And super appreciate you coming on MMA Canada Radio ahead of this Bill Algeo fight. And hopefully you enjoy the rest of your day, man. And I'm really looking forward to checking out the fight. So thank you for the time.
Yeah, thank you.